Thank you, everyone. For those who are on Zoom, we welcome you. And today we have our Pastor John to bring us the message for this Sunday. It's part one on Genesis 29, verse 31, from verse 30 to 34, and titled Jacob's Disappointment Is.
All right. Thank you, Joshua and Kat, and a good morning to all of you. So good to have you back in church. And I hope you've got your Bibles with you. And we'll be looking at a pretty huge passage today. And this passage is going to read like a Korean drama or a Taiwanese drama. How many of you watched Korean drama? Come on, be honest. It's not a sin. How many of you watch Taiwanese drama? Those dramas, they go on and on. They got about 1,000 odd episodes. And man, if you've followed some of them, almost everyone is shouting and screaming at each other, quarreling and father fighting with sons and sons fighting with neighbors. They're just screaming. And I hope you don't watch those because you may begin to think that it is a norm and it's not the norm. Today we're going to look at Jacob's family. And it's pretty similar. As we look through the passage, we may not hear the sound coming out, but they were screaming at each other. Maybe they finesse it better. But still, it is a strange passage to read because going through this huge chunk, at least almost 30 verses. It may appear meaningless, meaningless. Two sisters quarreling. But if that's all we get, then we miss the big lesson that God has for all of us. And we're going to divide our study into two parts. From the human perspective, that's what we're going to see today. And next week, we're going to see from God's perspective. Jacob's disappointment is God's appointment. And that's the beauty of it all. And we can only see this if we think in terms of the context of the Abrahamic covenant, that everything from chapter 12 onwards is about the expansion of the Abrahamic covenant. It's the outworking, how God is now expanding it. God is now making it come into reality. And if you can think of it in terms of the Abrahamic covenant, in fact, every passage of the Bible, right through to Revelation, if you can think of it in terms of the Abrahamic covenant, then everything will make sense. Otherwise, this passage is going to be meaningless for you. And that will be sad. And that's what most Christians are getting today. Meaningless passages. Because they fail to see God's original intention. God's original intention. So before we begin, let's have our Bibles open and let's open our hearts to God. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to thank you again this morning that we are your children. and you loved us more than anything. We just ask that this morning we will return that love by sitting at your feet to hear what you have to say to us. As we open your word, please open our hearts and help us to be teachable. Help us to submit to you as we hear you speak. Give us the strength and the courage to want to be more like Jesus. Because it's not easy. As we become more like Jesus, the world will hate us. But that we don't care, because we know that you first loved us. So we are excited as we wait on you. Speak to us. We ask this in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Genesis chapter 29, we'll be starting at verse 31 to 24 of chapter 30. Chapter 29, verse 31 to chapter 30 of verse 24. So you have got to have your Bible with you. Tighten your seatbelt. Let's begin. You will remember that at the end of the traditional marriage of Jacob, that week he had to spend with Leah. And at the end of that week, he also married Rachel, the woman he loved. But from that point onwards, Jacob would have to endure 13 years or 14 years of hardship and conflict, not only with Uncle Laban, but also with his four wives. Four wives. Now, this should wake some of you up. Perhaps the Bible allow four wives. Maybe not. We'll find out. But this is how it all happens. And I need to say that for us, the purpose of our study, because we'll be comparing verses with verses, scripture with scripture, not just in Genesis, but in other parts of scripture, in our next study, we will use the King James Version so that we are consistent in our comparison. So let's begin. Verse 31. Verse 31 reads, "And when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren." The NIV used the word enable. He enabled Leah to have children, but Rachel remained barren. Now, the word hated here doesn't imply that there was any physical abuse on Jacob's part, but it simply means that Jacob favored, gave more attention to Rachel. In short, Rachel was his favorite. You may say it's favoritism. It is true. But again, the word hated doesn't mean any the thing that we always like to think that hate is, but it is simply a comparison. Just as Jesus in Luke chapter 14, verses 25 and 26, tells us that if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. Now, the word hate here means loving less, loving less. And Leah being the first wife, Rachel the second wife, and I find myself feeling very awkward saying something like second wife. And we'll talk a bit about this. Is there such a thing as first wife and second wife? As far as God is concerned, there is only one wife. right? And we're going to find out very soon that God, in his wisdom, protects the first wife, if I may use the term, first wife. In Deuteronomy chapter 21, verses 15 to 17, it speaks about if a man has two wives, and the first wife gave birth to a son, and that son becomes technically the only firstborn. And if the second wife, the one he loves, in this case is Rachel, subsequently gave birth to a son, he, this man, must not give the rights of the firstborn to the son of the wife he loves. God is very clear about this. You see, this is the amazing thing about God. He thinks about everything, everything that our crooked mind can try to find loopholes with. And he plugs those loopholes. God says, no. The firstborn, the rights of the firstborn belongs to the son of the first wife. This is what this passage says. Coming back to Leah and Rachel, notice that God immediately saw what was happening and acted as a response to Jacob's lack of love for Leah, his first wife, by enabling Leah to have children. But God caused Rachel to be barren, at least for the time being. We know that. And don't read it as if it was God's curse on Rachel. It was never a curse. God has his plan. God has his timing. Clearly, we see God showing his preference for the woman Jacob should have as his wife. And that's Leah. That's Leah. Now, it may not sound fair. If you were a Jacob, you said, ah, come on. My agreement was Rachel. And he cheated me. He cheated me. That lousy old man cheated me. I have my rights. Sure, you have your rights. But we're going to learn more about polygamy. And we'll talk more about it in our next study. But here we have to consider that, was it God's intention that for Leah, only Leah, to be Jacob's wife? And in those days, and even today, being able to give your husband children, babies, was the highest possible blessing a woman received, even today. And verse 32 continues, and Leah conceived and bare a son, and she called his name Reuben. For she said, surely the Lord hath looked upon my affliction, and now therefore my husband will love me. Leah's first child, or first son, was Reuben. Now we are going to go through all the 12 names. I don't know how many of you know all the 12 names. If I were to offer you a McDonald's meal voucher now, right now, can you recite all the 12 names in sequence? Nobody? All right. Give it a try. Come. Daryl, go for it. Why? You're so wrong. You left out quite a few. Yeah. Wrong. Yeah, you got it wrong. It's okay. Never mind. I can't do it myself. It's okay. All right. Okay. Now, this is the interesting part. All those names, and you will find that they are so significant from right here in chapter 29 all the way up to chapter 50. And this whole, so many chapters itself, it's God's mind, God's plan for us. And this is the exciting part when we study. And knowing them by sequence, not just that, but today as we look at the two sisters quarreling, why? Why is God penning it down here for us? There is a huge and important reason which you will discover in the next study, not today. So in verse 32, Leah called him Reuben. Reuben, before we get to the meaning of the name, notice two strange things happening. The first thing was, it was Leah who gave the name to the boy, not Jacob. And in most culture, it is the father who gives the name. Am I correct? And in some of our Chinese practice, it is the grandfather who would decide the name. But here we find that it was Leah. Why? Isn't it obvious? Jacob was just not interested. Not interested. Son, I got a son. Oh, okay. What's for breakfast? He's not interested. The second thing was the choice of the name itself. Leah was not only saying to Jacob, see, I give you a son. And I'm going to plot all of this in a chart. And you can see the pattern when you have the chart. Reuben means see a son, or in the old English, see. Or you see, I've given you a son. But the real reason, Leah continued to say what? The Lord has seen my affliction and gave me a son, as if to comfort her. Leah thinks that surely now Jacob will love me more. But she was so wrong, so wrong. Because Jacob was so hard-hearted. He just didn't care. And I put up the words there, and they're so important. And I've highlighted those key words. They are so key in our understanding of this passage, in our understanding of what God is going to say to us. Let's continue, verse 33. And she conceived again and bare a son and said, because the Lord hath heard that I was hated, he hath therefore given me this son also. And she called his name Simeon. Simeon in Hebrew comes from the root word shama. And if you remember in Deuteronomy, this is the great shama that every Jew must know. The great shama. When God commanded them to hear. And that's the meaning of the name Simeon. Hearing. Suggesting that Leah had been speaking to God in her misery, in her affliction, because she herself gave the reason that it is because the Lord hath heard that I was hated. And the key word here is heard, Simeon, from the word shama. And in her troubles, Leah seemed to be learning some important lesson. Leah seemed to be learning to look to God. And verse 34 continues to tell us, and she conceived again and bare a son and said, now this time will my husband be joined unto me, because I have borne him three sons. Therefore, his name was called Levi. Some of us love to say third time lucky. That's what she was thinking. Now, surely Jacob would be joined to me, will be faithful, will be attached. Some of our translation will have the word attached. Leah means join. Levi means join. And in this column, in the first column, I've listed out the name, the text, and then the meaning in Hebrew, and then the birth mother. Right? So the first four is Leah. And now the third son, Levi, means join. And you and I can almost feel her pain. The pain of a woman who has given herself totally to her husband, who did not show her any affection the way she would desire as a woman. And conceive again, verse 35 tells us, and bear a son. And she said, now will I praise the Lord. Therefore, she called his name Judah and left bearing. That means stop producing. The word Judah means praise. And the word Jews comes from this word Judah. It means praise. And you and I would notice that by the birth of her fourth son, Leah seemed to have learned, or rather she seemed to have found joy in the Lord. And she called his name Judah, which means praise. Notice here that there was no mention of her husband Jacob at all. And it is because she must have come to realize that no matter how many sons she can give to Jacob, he still wouldn't care. So instead of trying to please a man, she would learn rather to please God. And I hope you and I learn this precious lesson. Don't please man. Please God. So instead of complaining to God about an unresponsive husband that has got no feelings for her, because his heart obviously belongs to her sister Rachel, Leah now turns her effort to please and praise God, who had already blessed her with four sons. And now we move over to chapter 30. Genesis chapter 30, verse 1 and verse 2 reads, and when Rachel saw that she bare Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister. And she said unto Jacob, give me children, or else I die. And Jacob's anger was kindled against Rachel, and he said, am I in God's stead, who hath withheld from thee the fruit of the womb? So about 4 years later, as Rachel watched her sister Leah popping out children as if like it is she's having dinner. Kapoop! Oops! Oh, one more son, you know? Her envy, her jealousy, her frustration exploded and she became unreasonable. She blamed Jacob for her childlessness, which is clearly a joke because Jacob already fathered four sons. It wasn't Jacob, it was Rachel. Rachel demanded that Jacob give her children or she will die, which is ironical because we know that later on she will die giving birth to Benjamin. And in response, Jacob was angry and reminded her that he is not God and that it is the sovereign God who is responsible for her infertility. It's God, Jacob was saying. Now that might sound right, but it sounded also hypocritical. Because there's so much hypocrisy in those words. Because if Jacob recognizes the sovereignty of God and that God has reasons and is in control of everything that happens in their lives, then why didn't Jacob stop to ask? He could have asked a couple of questions. He could have asked, why is God doing this to Rachel? Why? Or why has God favored Leah instead? In fact, the real question he should have asked is, could God not have intended for me to have Leah? Only Leah. That's the important question. And once more, we see the sin of having multiple wives clearly demonstrated here. There is nothing natural about polygamy, and nothing good will come out of it, I assure you. We not only see the beginning of the family falling apart, quarreling, bickering between the two sisters, and Jacob is now going to be dragged into the middle of it all. And it's about to get worse. It's about to get worse. Verses 3, 4, 5, and 6 of Genesis chapter 30. Let me read them to you. And she said, meaning Rachel, behold my maid Bilhah, go in unto her, and she shall bear upon my knees, that I may also have children by her. And she gave him, Bilhah, her handmaid, to wife. And Jacob went in unto her, and Bilhah conceived and bare Jacob a son. And verse 6, and Rachel said, God hath judged me, and hath also heard my voice, and hath given me a son. Therefore called she his name Dan. Dan. The word Dan in Hebrew means judge. Judge, which was Rachel's way of saying to Leah that God, like the judge in the court of law, has declared Rachel innocent, that the Lord is now on her side. That was her reasoning. And as you listen to all these reasons given by both Leah and Rachel, at least these first five cryptic messages that we have heard so far between the two sisters were filled with sarcasm, they were filled with jealousy, and they were filled with bitterness. And here we see, just as Sarah did with Hagar before, Rachel resorted to a cultural practice, one that was certainly not God's way. Rachel started a contest with Leah by throwing her maid Bilhah into the arms of Jacob, and then was born. Now we have to be clear, and I will say this many times, because I've heard well-meaning Christians coming up to me and saying, Abraham got two wives, I think it should be okay. Well-meaning Christians. And I almost collapsed and died. And if you come up to me, if Solomon got 300 wives, why can't I? You better don't come to this church, because we don't have a place for 300 wives. Giving a maid as a wife was a sin on Sarah's part, and it is a sin for Rachel. And Jacob's willingness to go with this plan is also a sin, just as much as it was for Abraham. And if you cannot have a baby, or if you cannot find a spouse, you cannot find a husband or a wife, or even if you cannot find a job, wait on God. Wait on God. He will give you His best. If you rush ahead of God, you will miss the first prize. I've said it many times. You will also miss the second prize and the consolation prize. And you end up with a surprise, just as Jacob did. Wait on God. And you may say, Pastor John, so easy for you to stand up there and say, wait on God. I can tell you, I have. And I've got a first prize for my wife. She's not here. But I did. And I can tell you my story another day. But the best thing and the hardest thing is to wait on God. Isaac and Rebekah didn't resort to their own ways, and Jacob didn't have to either. But having already taken the second wife, Jacob may be thinking, what's the harm? More the merrier. But you and I know that the jealousy and the sins in the family will also be multiplied, and they will be followed by terrible consequences. Terrible consequences. Let me tell you, sin always has a price tag. There are consequences that you will never want to pay because it's just too high. Verse 7 and 8, chapter 30. And Bilhah, Rachel's maid, conceived again and bare Jacob a second son. And Rachel said, with great wrestlings have I wrestled with my sister, and I have prevailed. And she called his name Naphtali, or Naphtali. Naphtali means I have wrestled and prevailed. It's interesting to hear Rachel speaking like that. She's saying, I have been wrestling with my sister, fought with her, and I have won. Because she's now able to bear sons for her husband through Bilhah. And you and I know that much as Rachel loves to believe in that, we know it is not true. Not true. But God is allowing them to have children, not for the purpose of winning their husband's heart, but because God has another, God has his plans, God has his purposes for the boys, which we will find out in the next study. So, now Jacob has got 6 sons and 2 wives. And Leah did not get to see much of Jacob lately. Did I say 2 wives or 3? 3 wives. And Leah may be thinking that maybe Jacob is tired of me. And this is what she did, verses 9, 10, and 11. Verse 9, when Leah saw that she had left barren, she took Zilpah, her maid, and gave her Jacob to wife. And Zilpah, Leah's maid, bare Jacob a son, and Leah named him Gad. A troop cometh, she said, thinking that she's falling behind in favor. She now is afraid to lose her husband. And she escalated the baby-making competition by throwing her maid into the competition. And she gave birth, Zilpah gave birth to Gad. Now, I know even the names of the 4 wives, maybe we can remember Leah, Rachel, the 2 maids. Sometimes it's hard to remember which one comes first. All right. So to make it easy, remember the first one is Bilhah, B. The second one is Zilpah, Z. All right. So if you put the B and the Z together, it's busy. It keeps Jacob busy. All right. And first baby to come out, Gad. And verses 12 and 13 tells us, and Zilpah, Leah's maid, bare Jacob a second son. And Leah said, happy am I, for the daughters will call me blessed. And she called his name Asher. Leah's maid, Zilpah, gave birth to 2 boys, 2 sons, Gad and Asher. In Hebrew, Gad means a troop is coming, and it is with the intention to attack, to attack. All right. But of course, in Leah's mind, the troop is coming to save her. It is coming to save her. And Asher means happy. Happy because she's saying, now all the women around me will look at me and call me blessed, blessed. That's why I am happy. Notice here that with these 2 new additions, Leah is no longer praising God for his blessings. Her focus now is on using the names of these 2 boys to insult and to hurt her sister as deeply as possible. How many of you have done this before? You do things intentionally to hurt and to hurt the other person as much as possible. How many of you have done it before? I'm the only one? Okay, all right. There's only one honest guy in this room. Man, we have all done it, I assure you. All right. And with all this messages going back and forth. And if you were to imagine that in those days, they had a WhatsApp chat group. That chat group will be going beeping, beeping, nonstop. Beep, 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 beep. It'll be on fire. And if this madness continues, and just to mock the other sister, one of them is likely to to name the next son, na 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 na, you know, man, it's crazy. Two sisters growing up together, they are now trying to kill each other. And we know that this baby-making competition is far from over. Verses 14, 15, and 16 reads, and I'm going to read from the NIV this time. It's easier to read. Verse 14, during wheat harvest, Reuben went out into the fields and found some mandrake plants, which he brought to his mother Leah. Rachel said to Leah, please give me some of your son's mandrakes. But she said to her, wasn't it enough that you took away my husband? Will you take my son's mandrakes too? Very well, Rachel said. He can sleep with you tonight in return for your son's mandrakes. So when Jacob came in from the fields that evening, Leah went out to meet him. You must sleep with me tonight, she said. I have hired you with my son's mandrakes. So he slept with her that night. As I was reading this, I was kind of cracking up, you know. It's kind of like you take up your handphone and you try to book a Grab taxi. Here, Leah said, I have booked you tonight. What just happened here was during harvest time, Reuben, probably 8, 9 years old by now, went out and found this plant. And in those days, the fruit of this plant, it was called love apple, kind of like a love potion and aphrodisiac. But I want to tell you here, it is only a myth. Just like today, you and I, we have a lot of myths, right? If something happened to you, somebody say, oh, eat something from this plant. I remember many years ago when my grandpa was dying of cancer, people say, oh, you know, the snail, the garden snail, there's a small piece of meat inside the snail. I'm not kidding you. And if you take that piece of meat, cook in the porridge, it will cure you of your cancer. My mom went to look for snails. That's why today you don't see many on the roads. All right. And she actually did it. My grandpa died. It was only a myth. And when Rachel saw this fruit that Reuben found, Rachel might have thought that by eating the fruit, she might become fertile. So she was willing to give Leah one night with Jacob as payment for the fruit. Poor Jacob. I don't know whether he realized it. He was kind of like traded, like a commodity, a goods. There was this transaction going on between Leah and Rachel. But out of this transaction, verses 17 to 20 tells us, two more sons were born to Leah. Verse 17, back to the King James Version, and God hearkened unto Leah, and she conceived and bare Jacob the fifth son. And Leah said, God hath given me my hire or my reward, because I have given my maiden to my husband. And she called his name Issachar. And Leah conceived again. Obviously, a year later, not the following week. All right. And she bore Jacob the son number six. And Leah said, God hath endued me with a good dowry. Now will my husband dwell with me because I have borne him six sons. And she called his name Zebulun. Oh, that's happy for Asher. All right. Let's move on. With two more sons. Issachar means he will bring a reward. He will bring means God will reward her. Because Leah literally hired Jacob. And the next son, Zebulun, means dwelling. Because now, she acknowledged that God had given her gifts, dowry, and she believes, now my husband will dwell with me. My husband will dwell with me. After the birth of Zebulun, Leah seemed to have lost her appetite for fighting with Rachel. And shortly after, in verse 21, we read, and afterwards, she bare a daughter and called her name Dinah. Dinah. And Leah, while she had a daughter, which is unusual because in the Bible, the daughter's name are usually not mentioned. But we will see that later on, Dinah would be mentioned in an incident that would be critical to Jacob's family life story. Finally, God's timing for Rachel came. And verse 22 to 24 reads, and God remembered Rachel. And God remembered Rachel and hearkened to her and opened her womb. And she conceived and bare a son and said, God hath taken away my reproach. And she called his name Joseph and said, the Lord shall add to me. The Lord shall add to me. Joseph means add. Let him add. When I said that the mandrake fruits were a myth, this is proof. This is proof. Rachel took the fruit and she didn't become fertile. She didn't give birth immediately. We are told that Leah had two more sons, meaning at least 2 years have passed. Then Rachel was able to give birth to Joseph. We don't know, but certainly Rachel will not give credit to the mandrakes. And Rachel's choice of this name was both interesting and ironic, because having given birth to Joseph, she is now hoping that God would add another child to her. And eventually we know God will, but she will die in childbirth. So now we have come to son number 11. And for the purpose of our study, we want to finish up all 12. We'll now skip to Genesis chapter 35 and look at the birth of Benjamin. In verse 18 of chapter 35, the King James Version reads, and it came to pass, as her soul was departing, for she died. And she called his name Benoni. Benoni. If you want to pronounce it as Benoni, it's fine. But his father called him Benjamin. And chapter 35 is a bit fast forward. When Jacob and Rachel, they were on their way back to Hebron or Canaan, Rachel had a very difficult labor and she died after giving birth to Benjamin. And the name Benoni means son of my sorrow. But it was Jacob who changed his name to Benjamin, which means son of my right hand, son of my right hand, or son of the right hand. Now here, there are no reasons given because Rachel died very quickly after the birth. And we do know why. And in her mind, it is the son of my sorrow. It is a very difficult time for her. But it was Jacob who changed the name. Two things that you need to notice here. That in this chart, I drew a thick red line across. Because there was not only a time gap, but there was something very important that happened between Joseph to Benjamin, which we will find out, and we'll fill in the two other columns in our next study. But for now, we need to mention that this intervention by Jacob was not just important, it's unique in our study, because this is the first time we see Jacob, the father, changing the name of the son to Benjamin. And we know that Benjamin is the last of the 12 sons of Jacob, and they will then come together to form the 12 tribes of the nation of Israel. And we're going to look at all the significances in our next study. So as we look at all these 12 names and the reasons that were given, what is God saying to us today? Just based on this, what is God saying to us today? First off, as we have started off by saying that it sounded like a Korean drama or a Taiwanese drama. And we cannot help but notice that all the reasons given by both Leah and Rachel were filled with jealousy, bitterness, and hurt. And the reasons they gave after each birth were at best nonsensical. It doesn't make sense at all. And at some point, it even sounds prideful, because both sisters have taken over the place of God. They are giving reasons why this thing is happening to them, as if they know. And this is so common, even amongst ourselves, that when something happens, we tend to rationalize it. We tend to give it a reason. And so often we pretend as if we know the reason, what God is doing and why is He doing it. And we do it so often that we sometimes don't even realize it. Because both two sisters are assuming that because they got what they wanted, that is proof that God is pleased with them. God approves of their attitudes and their actions. Same thing today we hear in many churches, especially the big health and wealth churches. And the pastor will tell you this: if you get sick, in fact, that's not what God has in mind for you. God wants you to be healthy and wealthy. And if you're sick, it means that there is some sin in your life, brother. Confess. What garbage we keep hearing from our pulpits today. And in our own personal life, when we see a friend losing their job or getting sick, Don't we sometimes think that this person has sin in their lives? Or when a child is coughing, don't we hear our relatives, our family, usually trying to explain it, to give a reason? Ah, it's because you took him out to the beach the whole day. That's why he's sick. Or you've given him too much satay. They're coughing. I can almost imagine myself, one day when I die, I will die one of these days. And when I'm lying in a coffin, some of you will step up and look at a small little window and look at my face, and you'll probably be saying, too much coke, John, too much coke. Don't worry, I'm not offended. We seem to be able to rationalize and give reasons for everything. We don't. We are not God. Or we can say that it is something that has happened. And when you look at me through that small little window, all you need to say is, John really died. Right? Don't pretend that you know. The most important thing and the hardest thing to learn is to say, I don't know. I don't know. And many times when you speak to me, you ask me certain things, I will tell you, I don't know. Turn to the person next to you and say, I don't know. Really? Is that the first time you've said it in the last 10 years? Maybe. So the question is, what can we say about Jacob? What can we say about Jacob? Don't forget, Jacob was a spiritual man. He cared about the things of God and he loves God. But he was also a stubborn man and he's trying to live his spiritual life by his own strength in the flesh. God has really given Jacob a wife, Leah. But he was so stubborn, he couldn't accept Leah as God's will for his life. And he chose to work another 7 years for Rachel. Yes, Jacob loved Rachel. And yes, he was cheated by Uncle Laban. And surprised to get two wives, finally. And now we look at Jacob's family. It is a picture of a perfect dysfunctional family, a chaotic family. That's Jacob's family. But you know what? Before you and I start throwing stones at Jacob, in reality, you and I were no different. Because we also choose, we've chosen to chase after the Rachels, the beautiful things that we love, the pretty things in life that we think is better for us, ignoring the Leahs that God has given to us already. God has never failed to provide for us a roof, food, and clothing. But usually, they are not good enough, isn't it? My house is not big enough. My job doesn't pay so well. My wardrobe and the car that I drive doesn't fit my status. I need to be wearing branded clothes and driving continental cars. So, nothing wrong with continental cars, mind you, all right? I'm not saying you shouldn't drive continental cars. In fact, you shouldn't be driving Japanese cars also. Try Korean. I'm promoting Korean cars. No, I'm not. Nothing wrong with all that. But if there's something you keep chasing after and ignoring God, what God has already given us, then you and I will be like Jacob. And we'll continue to work ourselves into the ground. Just to get the very thing that God has already given us. And like Jacob, we're going to find our own personal lives, our family life, quickly turning into an absolute chaos, absolute chaos. In fact, that's the picture of many families today. And it's a picture of our world today. And sometimes, God may give us what we desire just to prove us wrong. And at the end, we will find that God even allows consequences for our sins. But the good news is this, that God will never allow his redemption plan to be frustrated or to be derailed. God will never allow that. And this is the lesson behind the dysfunctional family of Jacob. In the midst of all this chaos in Jacob's family, we're going to see God's wisdom, how in his sovereignty, he's going to use the sins and the flaws of Jacob and his four wives to work out his redemption plan. That's the good news. That's why I started out by telling you, any passage you read, you must have in the back of your mind the Abrahamic covenant. And if you have that, you will be able to interpret it accurately. And this is exactly what this passage is all about. That God is going to use the family of Jacob to work out his redemption plan. Now I'm going to stop here and I'm going to leave you with one question for our next study, which will take place 6 weeks later. In between, we're going to have other speakers. But right now, I'm going to leave you with this question. The question is this: what is the significance of the births of these 12 sons? Let me rephrase it to make it easier. What is the event? What is the event that is described by the births of the 12 sons? And your answer is usually two or three sentences only. But your answer may be pretty vague or general. You need to give me one verse that supports your answer. And it comes with a McDonald's meal voucher upsize. All right? And it's open to all of you. And you can try as many times as you like. But I'm going to ask for that verse. There are many verses, but to show that you understood, what is the event that is being described here in this mess? And you will finally be able to see the amazing sovereignty of God working in the life of Jacob's family. God bless.